It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
All right. Hey, guys, welcome to this week's edition of UGA Sports Live. We are here at Champy's Chicken, as we normally are. Last week we broke from tradition a little bit, headed over to Academia Brewing. Had a good time over there, some good grub, some good beer. It was a great time. So thank you to everyone who came out over there and hung out with us. And thank you for everybody who's out here today at Champy's, the world-famous fried chicken, best in Athens, year after year. There's just really no way to put it other than, I mean, when you're the best, you're the best. So, special edition today, we do have Russ Tanner sitting in with us.
Howdy, howdy.
One of our favorite guests to have on. And as always, we got the old coach, Jim Donnan, here hanging out, going to bring some great insight, as always. If you have any questions, make sure to send them our way. We'll be getting to as many of those as we can today. Sorry, no Roddy on the show, but I think we'll somehow live.
Roddy going international on us.
That's right. That's right. International man of mystery, Roddy Nabulsi.
I think if you go longer than a week, it's not a vacation. I think it's a sabbatical.
That's how it feels.
Maybe a break.
That's how it feels. first, we do want to shout out a couple of our sponsors before we get rolling. Academia, as we mentioned, we were out there last week. Got to hang with those guys. Great time out there. Good to chill with them. Your Pie, some of the best pizza that you'll ever get your hands on. Definitely the best in town here in Athens. So get out and see them as well. Athens Ford. One of our biggest sponsors, not only the podcast, but also the show, or I'm sorry, the site, which you should get over and check out too. It's UGASports.com, in case you're wondering. Cable East with Robert Wall, 365 Game Day, and I think that's it, right? Am I missing anybody, Coach?
I don't think you'd missed anybody.
All right. I count on you to keep me straight. Like I said, make sure
groceries in.
There we go. We got the grilled chicken salad in today for all you watching your weight.
already knocked one of these out. Pre-show. And that SH, just so you know.
Yeah, that sweet heat.
Got a little burn to it.
Oh, I bet.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's very, very good.
Yeah, I think Russ could probably take down another one, looking how he took down that first one. That was pretty quick, man. You Joey Chestnutted that thing like you were in the hot dog eating contest.
Looked like you could play, Russ.
Roasted chicken, coach.
Looked like you could play.
Yeah.
Like I said,
at least one quarter.
Make sure you guys get in any questions that you have today. We will be taking as many as we can. When we come out of the gate today, we've got some questions kind of already on hand, so I wanted to kind of hop in on those. We hit up Twitter and also UGASports.com for some things to kick us off today.
Well, as Chris Stapleton would say, fire away.
There we go. RDF Dog 84 on our board. At UGASports.com, comes in with a good one kind of off the get-go. Coach and I have talked about this a lot. Russ, interested in your take, though. We'll let you lead the conversation on this one. Incoming freshmen.
Yeah.
Guys that you think will have the biggest impact. You're one, guys. RDF Dog wants to know maybe one for offense and one for defense.
One for offense, one for defense. Well, I think when you go look at offense, you start doing kind of process of elimination because some positions are just less likely to have an impact. We'd love to see Justin Fields have an impact, make some plays, but, you know, he's going to be in the pecking order behind Jake Fromm, having to get a spot there.
Maybe behind him.
Yeah, if Jake will stay off a boat. But in all likelihood, Jake's going to start off as the guy, and until something proves otherwise, he's probably the guy for this year. Fields will play and have an impact.
I'd say it's 50-50. Right now.
50-50. That
to me, based on what I've seen, it's not anything against Jake. It's just more about Justin. I think it's going to be a heck of a competition, but Jake can hold him off for sure, but this guy's got the ability to take over.
Wow.
I'm for it. You know, I've met Fromm.
I don't want to take away from your
turn.
Let's go to the next deal here, but I think he's certainly got a – based on everything that I've seen and what they're going to do in fall camp, you know, that's what the MO's been before, to let all these guys play. But go ahead, who else do you think?
Well, so process of elimination, you go that route. You know, tight end, you got some really talented guys coming in, but you still got Nauta, Warner, all those guys back, so they're not going to be there. You know, offensive line, super talented guys. Jamari Sellier will play some. Cade Mays will play some. But for the most part, it's really hard to step on an offensive line
right.
and be an impact player. Andrew Thomas was the huge exception to that rule last year, you know, to be an impact player on offensive line. You know, so when I go look at it, I think skill position on offense is where you can make the quickest impact and have the best shot at it. And when you look at what Georgia's done from a running game standpoint last few years, losing Sony, losing Nick, you know, you really come in with Swift coming back, then Holyfield trying to find his spot, Harry, and is he going to play? But then you look at the guys, the James Cook, and whenever Zamir White is 100% healthy and turns loose, like those freshman cats have a really big chance to be impact players for the team. Not just space fillers, not just on the field taking up some minutes, impact players. And I think that was the question, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would go one of those guys, one of those two freshman running backs, because they're going to have some spots to tote the ball. You know, they'll get what, Coach, 5 or 10 carries a game, something like that?
Just depends on how good Swift is. You know, we really haven't seen him being the man, you know, in the really premium games at the end of the year. You know, he only touched the ball 8 times, you know, in those 2 games. So we think he's going to be all right. He's coming off a serious injury too, so hopefully he'll be okay. And I'm not trying to do anything but augment you, but I think you make a good point. Either one of those guys –
You can augment me.
You
got to
see what Cook's going to do. I mean, you know, to me, he would be more what Swift did last year—a slot guy, run the jet sweep, do all that. But we'll see how he manufactures. But there's certainly a tremendous amount of talent on offense that could make the move. And we didn't even mention Hill, who I think probably has the best shot of any of those guys because he had practice along with Mays, but. Reminds me a lot of you from the standpoint of, you know, very ability to play guard and center. And, he's a big kid that can really help us. So who you like on defense?
Defense, we'll do that same kind of deal, the process of elimination. Hard to have a defensive back come in early and play just because the mental side of what those guys have to do is it's hard to make that jump. You know, linebacker, I think we've got some older guys there that are playing. I think you go to the defensive line for the guys that come as a freshman and really make an impact because, you know, what do you tell those young guys? You get on the outside, and what do? You put your hand in the dirt and go get them, right? So I think in particular you look at your outside guys. You look at Adam Anderson and I'm blanking. What's
her name? Brenton Cox.
Yeah.
There you go.
You look at those two guys right there. Those guys have an opportunity to line up on the outside. You don't have to have great technique yet to make an impact as a defensive end, defensive lineman. They can get down there, use their athletic ability, and try to outrun some of these guys who are around them. So I think that Brenton Cox and Adam Anderson were two guys on defense that, when I look at it, I think have a chance to be, again, use that specific word, impact players for
right.
the year.
And part of the problem for all of those guys is the returning people that they're having to compete against. It's going to be tougher, even though we have more 5-stars and more, the number one class in the nation, that the guys they're going up against is a talent-laden team as far as ability, skill, size, strength, everything. Cox, to me, really stepped up in the spring, showed his unique ability to rush the passer. They can jump him in and out. But the guy's got blazing speed. I mean, I don't know if he runs as good as Zoe, where you could probably play nickel like Zoe did. You know, you could move him around and keep him in the game, whereas, you know, now these guys like Devontae Walker and – all these guys on the edge. I don't, you know, when you take one of those guys out, it's tough for them to be on the sideline, but you got to go nickel against all these wide people. But, boy, you made some really good points over there. You been over there talking to those guys?
Well, you know, Coach, I watched a show or two about it.
He so. Dabbles.
Yeah. I just listen to what you say, man. Like,
no, I'm sure she did nobody. A good job on it, and I think the bottom line is skill-wise, all these guys are going to help our special teams.
Yeah,
Tyndall, just a tremendous speed guy, a lot like Roquan. Reese is just a physical type guy that can help us in the secondary, depending on what happens at safety with Gibbs and some of these guys up in the air. You know, what will happen with these guys? But I think Campbell has got the ability, but it's going to be hard to jump in there without spring practice. Webb coming back from injury. would probably be a big deal for him. But I would say overall, not just talking about those two, offense and defense, but Camarda coming back as a punter, I think he's going to jump in there and probably really compete for it. And you know, I like Anderson too. I like his. But, you know, you look at them, we got them stacked up like club sandwiches there at the end. I mean, you got Anderson, Cox, Walker, Walter Grant. I mean.
You got the players.
And then Natres. I mean, it's just a good situation there. What's the next one there, Big Ben?
Well, I want to ask you, though, Coach. You made the comparison between Brenton Cox and Lorenzo Carter. And I think that's something a lot of people have made. Physically very similar guys coming out of high school. Yeah. Do you feel that maybe Brenton is a little more ready early on than Lorenzo was at the beginning of his career?
He might be because, you know, Zoe developed it, and there's no question he made himself a very draftable player. He kept getting a lot more physical. He benefited from the weight room. This guy comes in here, looks a little bit more mature, and, you know, it's always tough to compare players because it's not fair. You don't know how they were coached in high school, all that, but I just know this, that Cox just made a big jump out there in the spring, the way, you know, he's physical, but the guy can really, really run. I mean, he was just – I was out there one day watching the camp, you know, the kids that come to the camp, and he and I guess he and Fields just kind of jawing at each other, so they raced, you know, like it looked like 25 yards. I was a little bit further away than I could really see without my glasses on. But he was running almost stride for stride with Fields. Fields beat him, but – you know, they had a good time joining each other. But I like when guys challenge them, like, you know, here's a big old guy like that can jump in. And another guy that we haven't had here on campus that could make an impact is Jay Hayes. He's just we've talked on this broadcast when you weren't here, and I don't know if you've heard about it, but very amicable kid that gets along with the players, but just can really move, you know, the type of player Kirby's always – structured his defense around, you know, wherever he's coached, that could really help us. Losing a guy like Thompson, you know, he's very similar to him movement wise you know, maybe a little bit bigger, but he's definitely pennies from heaven.
Yeah, I know that you're I know that you're loving it.
Hey Coach, I got a question.
Yeah, go. Yeah,
honest question. You talk about, you see those guys racing, when was the last time you raced a man?
When I raced a guy?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that. I mean, it was 2 days and 14 nights ago. I know that. It was a long time ago. I don't even know. I still try to run down some tennis balls, but as far as pure race, man, I'm not much of a track guy.
Yeah.
But you are. I hear you're quite the competitor out there on the tennis courts. I've heard.
You show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser.
There you go.
All right.
But I don't – we just play for fun.
Now, you mentioned Russ, actually, and Coach, you started talking about Justin Fields, Jake Fromm, this quarterback battle, obviously. The big story from last week was, of course, Jake Fromm breaking the hand. It was, you know, it blew up on July 4th. Wasn't really that big of a deal. Ended up, you know, Kirby saying it was pretty minor, all things considered. Looks like there's going to be no limiting factors when he goes into practice. You know, Russ playing at that level and coach, you know, watching young men at that level, is there any way to even prevent something like this? I mean, other than sitting these kids at their house and covering them in bubble wrap?
Well, that's it. You can put them in a bubble and make them do nothing. But so much of the grind that these guys go through now is just not fun. People like to look at what the coaches and the players go through. It's like, oh, man, it's glamorous. Oh, I'd give my right toe to be out there doing that. It's not fun 80% of the year. You know, people ask me, like, hey, do you miss it? Like, I miss Saturdays.
Exactly.
And I miss my time with the boys. But the grind is not fun.
Sure.
You know, and it's no easier. You know, think about all these grown men and women watching it now. You're in, you know, midlife, wherever you're at. You got to do the same thing every day. We get tired of it. Football's the same way. So for them to have a break is huge, or else they're going to be mentally burnt out.
Yeah.
And it can't do it. So, I mean, you can't do that. I mean, if the worst we come out of is a fracture in the non-throwing hand. Although I did hear somebody say they've never seen somebody take a snap with one hand from the shotgun. So,
well, he can. He'll be okay from that standpoint. And you just the guy loves being on the outdoors, and part of his personality is to to be, you know, he's such an outgoing kid, a great leader and everything like that. And he's a mature guy. I mean, you know, accidents happen no matter what you're doing. And I think Kirby has made the point to our team, just like every coach, and like Coach Rick, I'm sure, made to you, and I tried to make, is, you know, you got to get away from football a little bit in the summertime, because, as you mentioned, you're getting ready to go back in there and put the hammer down here. You know, we got the SEC meetings coming up, and it's just they'll have 3 more weeks of lifting and everything, then they'll give them 3 or 4 days off, and then they report. And you just can't go out there and beat it up like that. Nope. Day after day. And but you got to do it. You got to do it to compete with everybody else, because there's a lot of learning to go on in the summertime. And I think that's a great rule, that these kids can come in and learn how to adjust their whole football career and also their academic career, take 1 or 2 courses and get their feet on the ground. Because, as you could tell the fans, that's a big adjustment coming from a small school and all of a sudden having to go take classes with students that maybe have a little stronger background where they went to school than you might have. Not necessarily you, but just anybody, you know.
No, I'm in that bucket. For sure. But, you know, you can't – I mean, even think back during my time there, we had several things, injuries that happened that people never knew about. I'm not going to say who it is in case it doesn't need to get out.
Sure.
A certain 3-time All-American around when I was there. I mean, we were up at Lake Lanier at a buddy's houseboat one time. And he went to go in the bathroom and went in the wrong door in the like 2 in the morning and fell and hit his face on a statue, sliced it open. We had to be rushed to the hospital at 1 in the morning in Gainesville, almost lost his eye, almost cut his temple open. And, you know, we come back and, you know, we had to make up a lie to tell Coach Rick about what happened.
Sure.
But, you know, even just freak stuff happens. And Jake Fromsoff's freak, so he's going to be fine. You know, fortunately, knock on wood, seems like a lot of the off-season chatter is really quietened down the last few years, so give Kirby a lot of credit for that. And hopefully it stays quiet these next, you know, month and a half, and then, you know, let's strap it up.
I mean, these incidents are so much better than ones that are involving the law or alcohol or whatever it might be. You know, those are going to happen. They happen all around the country, and they happen on UGA's campus to other people that you don't hear about. But,
every day.
But I just think, we got a good morale base here now. These kids feel good about the way they're treated, the way they work, and they know how to work. And standards have been set. Now you got to do it. But part of the standard is relax a little bit. I mean, you're going to have a well-rounded team if your guys – I would say this, and you could probably point this out. There's a lot to be said about just hanging out with some of these guys, whether it be at the lake or – fishing, whatever it might be, but you get to know them a little bit off the field. That helps you when you're playing, right?
No doubt. Right. I mean, no doubt. Who do you want to be in a foxhole with? A stranger or a brother?
Right.
You know, you want to be with a guy that you know, that you trust. So when the crap hits the fan, you know something about the guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all season's huge. You know, Jake cracked a hand. You know, that's the least of his worries. Like I said, he's got classes and probably – multiple suitors knocking on his door, and a lot of football to get ready for, and Justin Fields, you know.
We can't base everything on your experience, though, Russ, with the suitors knocking down the door.
A lot of difference between a starting quarterback and a mediocre center, just so you know.
No, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Speaking of players that are not mediocre necessarily either, got a lot of questions rolling in both on the chat and over at UGASports.com concerning one of the biggest names in recruiting as the summer goes. That's Demetrius Robertson, former 5-star from Cal. We touched on last week that he was looking around. He announced over this past weekend that he will be announcing a decision this Saturday, July 14th. Georgia, we believe, feels good. I've been told West Virginia has reason to feel good. Texas is in the mix for this thing. You know, it's an interesting scenario, though, and I think it's catching a lot of people off guard, because we've never really seen a transfer put this much pomp and circumstance behind his second transfer, his second commitment, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the whole deal, I mean, he said he was going to make an announcement last week. He did announce that he's going to commit this week, and I guarantee it's going to be a Cecil B. DeMille type deal because of all the stuff involved with it. It's going to be a nice production, and he'll make it. I mean, that's just his style, but you know, he's definitely a difference maker guy that can come in and play right away if he's eligible, and a lot of it's going to be determined by the NCAA. I'm sure that we're presenting a hardship because the kid wants to come back near his family, and a lot of times they vote in that favor. I'd say we got a shot at that. But
yeah, I say we got a shot at it too, and I think that gives Georgia a big leg up in the competition, by the way, because it's hard to say you got a family situation and you're moving to West Virginia.
Right.
I mean, you've been up there before. How far is that from here, Coach?
It's two woods and a long iron.
That's a long day.
It's 9-hour trip from here to Huntington, and three more up there. So you're talking about 12 hours
from here.
And he's
from Savannah.
And he, I'm sure he'd be flying up to Pittsburgh and driving over. But it's a long way. And, you know, West Virginia's got a very competitive team to get him on there with that Will Grier quarterback and that good running back and that receiver. That would really help their team. And the one thing he's got going for him is that Jake Spavital was his offensive coordinator.
Correct.
At
Cal. Yeah.
Probably involved in recruiting of him, and he's probably talking it up. But, you know, he lists Texas and Alabama. I just don't see that. I mean, that looks good, but I would say we got to – If he wants to be comfortable and be around players he knows and be in his home state, that, I would say this is a really great shot for us to get him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you mentioned, you know, that comfort level. You know, this coaching staff is something that he's very comfortable with. I mean, these guys put night and day work in on that kid 2 years back.
Yeah, I remember seeing some of your stuff with Coley down there and Kirby, and they were all over him. And Kirby gave him a nice text when tweet when he said, "Hey, congratulations, and I hope it works out." But you know, still got an existing relationship.
And
if you're from this state and you see Georgia playing in a national championship game, and you know you got a chance to play on this team and maybe make an impact, you got to really think about not coming here.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Hey, I mean, it seems pretty obvious to me, but we'll see. But
it makes a difference, and you know, and I think. You know, I'm from South Georgia, Middle Georgia. I'm from a really small town, unlike Robertson, who's more from around Savannah. But you grow up in that environment, a lot of times you think, oh, there's so much more to the world to see. Oh, Athens is just like hometown 2.0. It's honestly not.
Yes.
You know, if you're not, unless you're from right around here, it's not. So some of these kids get in their mind that, like, I want to go see something else. I want to experience something else. The next thing you know, you move to California and you realize half of them are crazy. Like, you don't want to be there. It's not where you're comfortable.
Have you ever been to Cal Berkeley's campus?
No.
Wow. I mean, nothing against them, but it's just different.
It's a different place.
I know this. I did a game out there, and I was worried about a parking pass, you know, getting in there and everything, and the guy looked like that's crazy. Parking, so you just park anywhere you want to, Coach. You'll be all right. I mean, there were some people up there in the trees. It's weird, man. It was weird.
Yeah, Jackson, not too far from there. He was pretty.
A boy from South Georgia can only have so many tofu and tofurkey sandwiches before you realize, like, man, I need to get back home. Like,
right.
We got something good down there. And it means something to play for your home state. It meant something to me.
No question.
I think about when I was being recruited, I almost went to Notre Dame. It was too far away. Thank God I didn't go to Florida. But I was close, you know, because that's when all the coaching transition was happening. I didn't know where I was going to go. But, you know, looking back on it now, being able to come to Athens, you know, being able to put the red and black on to wear the G, like, it means something. You take a lot of pride in that. If this is where you're going to be, live your life, be around alumni and supporters and former players, like, being able to put the G on your chest, being from Georgia, and being able to be a part of something special is huge. So, to your point, there's no way Robertson doesn't feel the tug to go back and be a part of something big. And I do think that the family hardship, being able to play this year, will make a difference, which I think gives us the edge. You're not going to pull that junk off if you go to West Virginia or Texas.
Yeah.
Right.
No, absolutely.
I know you were talking, too, about hopefully we can talk about this guy some more, but you're talking about the other guys that we're looking at in 2019 at receiver. And I know that you've got your opinions on them, and I'm sure that Russ does, but Hazelwood, to me, is a guy that's going to be really beneficial to our team because he's a lot like Wims physically, you know, but maybe, in my mind, a little quicker, a little more of a fast-twitch guy that's that size. Plus, he's really physical. He could be a trained assassin back there in safety, you know what I mean? The way he's very physical.
Yeah.
And just did really good. I think he pulled his hamstring a little bit over there at that one deal you were, but he did really good in the opening. He made the all-conference team or whatever they had there. But he brings a real presence there. And then you add, Blaylock coming in, who is a – very intelligent guy, runs good routes, very competitive, really wants to, you know, compete and can jump around and in the slot and do all that. I mean, if you add those two and Robertson coming to our campus in the next 12 months, now that is elite receivers. Now that is
a lot of talent,
and they're looking at who's going to get them the rock too. And you got Fromm here, and you got Fields here, and they're looking at some good quarterbacks for 2020. I just think we've talked so much about our O-line classes, about our linebacker secondary, but all of a sudden you bring an elite group of receivers to go with these other people that can take it all the way. And you've played with some good receivers here. It's just a difference when you throw the ball. You just look at what Hardman did in that championship game. I mean, it's hard to pound that thing 75, 80 yards without stopping yourself, but you make some big plays.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people a little bit concerned. We've gotten a lot of questions related to the Robertson transfer and how that might affect the Hazelwoods and Blaylocks. I don't think it does anything. To me, honestly, and this is total speculation, I have no inside opinion on this, Demetrius, given the arc of his career and the things that he's done up until this point, he'll be eligible after this season to declare for the draft. It's not hard for me to see him having a big season and deciding to go that route. I mean, he's a guy who's going to test those waters, I think.
Yeah. That's a good point for the typical fans, typical anybody, coach. You know, you worry about everything. I worry about it, too. I mean, hey, what would happen? But you can't really get to – you got to take a player of his magnitude, you know.
Absolutely.
What I mean, and not worry about next year. But at the same time, Hazelwood, from what I've seen, and you got to meet him and interview him, we don't, but he just looks like the guy that could care less who is playing receiver here. He's one of the top, without question, two recruits in the country as a receiver, which makes him – you know, a premier player, and he's not worried, just like we talk about Fields wasn't worried about Eason and Fromm. I mean, if you want to go to a school and you like the coaches and you got a responsibility to yourself, you know, why give up an opportunity to play at Georgia because somebody you don't even know what he's going to do when he gets here?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And you know, the big thing I think about Robertson that people need to realize is, you know, we mentioned the term difference maker a lot. We looked at the stats last week. He would enter, assuming he chooses Georgia on Saturday, as the number two on the team in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns, trailing only senior Terry Godwin. So pretty impactful numbers that he could bring. Obviously, it's different out there on the West Coast. They throw it around a bit more. But, you know, a guy who can just flat out get it done.
Got track speed, too, right?
Absolutely. Speaking of getting it done, get over to Athens Ford and get it done with those guys. $15,000 off the 2018 Ford F-150 XLT 302A crew cab discount. $8,700 manufacturer rebate, $6,300. That's $15,000 off. They carry those in a mass quantity over there, so definitely get over and see those guys. And as well, I wanted to mention that they've got the military discount that they always do. So if you're a first responder, military, anything like that, veterans and active members of the military, $500 off. You get the limited powertrain warranty, at no cost, all new Ford vehicles. That's for the lifetime. And then student discount if you are a college student or a recent grad. Hey, you need some help out on your new vehicle, and you need a new ride to take to work, $500 off as well. They can help you get that set up. So get out to Athens Ford. Make sure you're checking out what they have to offer. Tell them UGA Sports Live sent you, and we sure would appreciate that. We're going to hop in here with a couple more of these questions that we got rolling in. Let's see. Well, that's a good question. Jeremy Singletary says, how many weeks of vacation does Roddy need? More than me, apparently. heavy is the head that wears the crown, I guess.
The guy's 24/7 when he's here. Come on, give him a little
break, baby. We're in July. It's all right.
He's got everything delegated, though, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Not going to be any slough off here.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
He already got everything set up for next week over there at SEC, and I'm sure, hey, Roddy deserves.
Are you going to Media Days?
I will not be going to Media Days. We'll have Anthony Dasher there and Patrick Garbin for our site. I'll still be covering some recruiting for you guys. Roddy says, I need 3 months. He's watching.
It?
He's watching the show live from Amman, Jordan. So
is that right?
Thank
Jordan.
You. Thanks all for right, tuning Roddy. In, Roddy. We love you, boss man. Let's see. We got Chadwick Ivory. I think this is an interesting question. Some guys kind of on the cusp, but some guys that Georgia will need to step up. He says, do you guys see Mykel Carter or DaQuan Hawkins Muckle making a jump this year from last? A couple of talented defensive linemen. They need some big guys on the interior to step up. Could this be the year that these guys finally climb the ladder?
You just never know how they're going to develop. And, you know, we play a lot of D linemen. We'll have to see. But, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with what the other team's doing. You know, if you're playing a team at 4 and 5 wide outs and throwing the ball all the time, you know, we're playing a lot of nickel, who knows. But if you're going against a running team like Auburn, who's really the most competitive team that we'll play as far as physical attributes compared to ours, then you can see that happening. But they definitely have improved, both of them, and I could see that. What do you think? You watch the trenches?
Yeah, I mean, somebody will. I mean, one of those guys will step up and play, whether it's Hawkins, Muckle, or Carter. You know, last year, who was it? Tyler Clark. He's kind of the guy that nobody really saw coming that ended up being, you know, a really impact player for him up there. And that's one thing Georgia's going to need, especially on the defensive front, is, you know, offenses are wide open. You know, we're in the age of scoring points, moving the ball and all that. The best way to stop that is to have somebody up front that is dominant and bust the line of scrimmage, pushes the pile. Football has changed a lot, but so much of it is still the same. He who winneth the line of scrimmage brings home the most rings.
Right. And I think Clark is definitely – we didn't hear a lot about him this spring. We talked about it a little bit on the show. He was kind of bummed up and didn't play a lot. And I don't think that really worried everybody that much over there at Butts Mirror because we know what he can do. But he's got the physical attributes and the ability and the movement to go on to the next level if he keeps on with his size. But he's got to play down after down like that. And it's a big year for him financially, I think.
He and Ledbetter.
Right.
Yeah.
Ledbetter, Rochester. I mean, come on. These
a lot of money to be made if you're them this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, how big of a motivator can that be for guys? I mean, realistically.
Huge.
Yeah.
So I've got a specific example for
you. All right.
So I'll test your guys' knowledge because this is back. No, it was after that. So Randy McMichael had a game in his career that he just went off and dominated. Does anybody remember what the game was?
Georgia Tech is my last year.
I would have been here because I was in the locker room when I heard
this. Well, this was later. Then.
Yeah. So does anybody remember who Randy McMichael went off against? Dave?
Yeah, I mean, the bowl game, we caught the last 8 seconds left.
All right, I'll just tell y'all. This is like playing a guessing game with kids. So I'm pretty sure, fact check me here, Dave, fact check me, it was against Tennessee, probably in 01. And I remember the locker room going out. Maybe it was 02, whenever it was. I remember the locker room going out. Randy McMichael said, he walked by me. He said, Tanner, about to get paid today. I said, about to get paid? What does he mean? What is Randy talking about? And then you go out, he makes like a one-handed catch like this out of nowhere. You know, I think he had a double-digit receptions, over 100 yards receiving, multiple touchdown catches. And he knew it was a 3:30 SEC CBS game that everybody in the country was going to be watching.
Absolutely.
And if he made an impact, if he made a statement, guess what? Those thinking scouts and coaches remember it.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing about it. A lot of people have asked me about, you know, how do these guys know about guys at different places?
No touchdowns?
You know, some of these smaller schools. But everybody's just like high school coaches. We go out to all these different high schools because, you know, there's some players at 1AA, some at AAA schools, you know. You got to check them out. Same thing for these smaller schools around the country. These scouts go there. But the one thing that's very vivid to me that a lot of coaches do, football junkies coaches, I know, you know, you're getting ready for a big game the next day and you're a pro coach, you got everything, and then all of a sudden you're sitting in your hotel room, you watch a game on TV. That's what you do. You don't watch as the world turns. I mean, you watch the – so
I'm young and restless. I'm not pissed with that now.
I remember Parcells, and he and I used to work together at Florida State. One time he called me and said, hey, have you ever thought about using a double move on your side adjust with your backside receiver? I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I watch y'all. He said, they're overshifting on your playing your sight adjust when a guy comes off the edge. I said, really? And I said, how do you know? He said, well, I watched y'all last Saturday night playing against LSU. So, I mean, it's just a point. These guys watch that.
Yeah.
You know, they watch football, and, you know, just like we watch high school games. I'll tell a high school coach that. But I would really wasn't dropping names as much as I'm just saying coaches watch. They're looking. It's easy to do that when you're relaxing. You don't have the pressure trying to sign a guy as far as draft choice or something, but you got a pretty good knowledge of these guys before you go into the draft because all the games on TV.
Well, and I think it's a huge – I think it's something, honestly, that doesn't get talked about a lot, but how big that pay bump can be. I mean, it's a motivator. It's just like anything else out there.
Well, with the salary cap now, it's even more because you're not – you know if you're first or second round, there's a lot of difference between that and the third round. And so you know the first 4 years what you're going to make pretty much by where you're drafted. That second contract's the one you got to get.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But I do want to touch on another one of our sponsors. You're not going to break the bank over here at YourPie. Go see those guys. They always put together a quality product for you. Remember, it's peach season, so they got the peach and prosciutto pie. Easy for me to say, not so easy for Roddy. Also, gelato on special. And get out and have some Academia beer. They carry several of the best local brews, including Academia. And go see those guys as well. World Cup soccer playing over there. Almost every game they've got up on the big screens. They're going to do a 13% Imperial Stout for Friday the 13th this Friday. So get an Uber and go out there.
Remember that great soccer scout that we talked about on the show 3 weeks ago, Roquan Smith, said, watch Croatia. He said, Croatia's my team, coach. Said, watch them. Well, they ended up beating somebody that day, and now they're right there.
They're doing pretty well, absolutely. We're seeing anyway, get out and see both your PI and Academia. You threw me off with
also want to give one shout out to Roddy and Amon. Where is he?
Amon Jordan.
Okay, I want to give a shout-out. You know, he's always telling the stuff on this show that might happen and all that, but back in the day when Coley was looking to go and have a shot at going to Texas A&M, and then he stayed here, and Roddy said, hey, he's probably going to shift the staff around and, you know, try to keep him, but one of the things that's going to be important is how he assigns some titles to keep these other coaches within the framework. He said, I could see McGee getting a title. Well, we've seen it here the last day or so. McGee's assistant head coach. So, as usual, Roddy's on top of things. We got to give him a little love over there in Jordan.
Yeah, 6,419 miles from Athens, Georgia, according to our stat guy, Dave McMahon.
Dave, you're coming up with the geography, man. I need you on Jeopardy.
He does a little bit of it all. He does a little bit of it all. Let's hop back into our questions today. If you have any, make sure to send them over our way. We'll be happy to touch on as many as
while
we can.
While you're picking that, I want to give a little shout-out to Dale McGee, too, because people don't realize the impact he has, not only trying to soothe these running backs and keep them, give them carries and do all that, but he recruits extremely well these running backs, but he's a lead dog on so many of these other guys, too. I mean, he's got Atlanta area. I mean, he was a lead guy on Fields. I mean, he is a premier recruiter that we got to keep around here. I know he's on the cutting edge of getting a head job. He's going to get one. But, boy, I'm telling you now, that is a strong offensive staff and defensive staff that Kirby's assembled.
Yeah, enjoy Dell McGee while you can. I think that's the key. You know, he's got this assistant head coach title now. I agree with you. It's only a matter of time before a program looks at a guy like that who's recruiting at the level that he has and with the knowledge, the high school connections. I mean, he's a total package, has climbed the ranks.
Was a good player in college,
absolutely.
Too.
But the thing is, I think it's going to help Kirby a little bit, though, because, you know, you can speak this obviously a lot more than either of us could. Staff transition is hard, you know, trying to get all that stuff together. But the thing for Kirby is now, I think a lot of his guys, the Dale McGees, the Mel Tuckers, the Coleys of the world, are going to get to be a little bit of a situation like when Kirby was under Saban over there, to where why am I going to leave? Like the money, they're getting paid so much money to be an assistant at Georgia right
sure.
now.
Sure,
I mean, well, every coach goes through that. Yeah, that's a good point too. I mean, you can tell you're in finance, man. You know, hey, anybody Hatter, needs, what's
Prime
the name
Lending,
of Prime Lending?
AthensLender.com.
He's not a sponsor, but we got to give him a little love. But in all seriousness, that's what you always look at as an assistant coach. Every job that you take, it's some kind of investment in your career. Sometimes it's not money driven. It's responsibility, but it's also it's where you are, because they're not hiring a lot of guys from losing programs. So the semblance of us winning like we're winning now is going to be a good attribute for the not only the assistant coaches, but the guys like Jesse Stone. We saw one of our defensive analysts last year go to the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, these guys are looking for people around the country that start on the Saban tree that know that defense, but they got to know if they were under Kirby Smart that he knows it just as well, and they're doing the same thing. So a lot of those guys are moving on too. So that defense is one of the ones that everybody around the country is looking at to try to copy.
Well, you were a high-level coordinator at a winning program. I mean, what was it like? I mean,
it was hard to leave Oklahoma, even to take the Marshall job, because, I mean, we really didn't do a lot of outside work because we ran the wishbone, so we never had tape on anybody. You know, nobody to look at and compare what we do, so we just – didn't have to stay over here a lot at night worrying about things. But it was a good lifestyle for me from the standpoint of my son was going through his getting to play, you know, and I got to watch him play. And I didn't do as good with my two daughters because I was always traveling around and everything. We weren't winning on that same level. But I guarantee you, there's a lot to be said about the quality of life. And you heard that with Coley saying how much his kids love Athens. And it is just a different place as far as a lot of places around the country, as far as I don't mean different. I mean, I just think it's just a place where so many people are looking to stay after they retire, or if they, as a coach, the winning part of it is going to be big. But also, your kids got to be happy. Your wife's got to be happy.
You got to make mama happy.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Well, and we talked about it, I think, last week after the show. There were rumors that if Mark Richt hadn't taken the Miami job, that he was considering just leaving coaching and staying in Athens. Jim Donnan, still in Athens. Ray Goff, in Athens. I mean, you know, the
Vince Dooley.
Vince Dooley, still in Athens.
A little bit different.
It's it really has a lot of people who have decided to put down roots here. Absolutely. I think it's huge. Got some questions rolling in. Chuck Ward wants to know about the grand opening for the recruiting center. And if you're not keeping track of that, make sure that you get over to UGASports.com. We'll have you covered that whole weekend. It's going to be the last weekend of the month. Georgia redoing the West End Zone, putting in the big recruiting center, new locker rooms, a whole deal. And, you know, it's shaping up, I think, to be what Dog Night used to be. It's going to be a big visitor list, a lot of guys in town, and I think it's the kind of thing that could spur some action on the recruiting trail for sure.
Yeah, you're always looking for an edge, particularly in the summer, whether it's some kind of camp deal, whether it's some kind of big day like this. But the big thing about this one, I think, more than anything, Russ, compared to when you were getting recruited, you know, they have these dead periods now, and the whole month of July, pretty much, a kid can't come to your campus.
Right.
You know, so, like, if you had a son that was a high school player right here in town, he couldn't come over to Georgia just to even talk to him. You can't do anything. All you can do is, you know, phone conversations or whatever it might be. I don't even know about that. But that's the day that it breaks open. So the first day that any of those kids are going to go anywhere, they're going to come, hey, look, you got a chance to see this, be part of it. How's it feel to be in this new locker room? But the symbolism of being there with those other guys, just like we talked about how great it was to know who your fellow players were and how they acted, the same thing about recruits getting to talk to each other, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, even, you know, when we were being recruited, you know, you meet these guys you become friends with, you know, and myself and Pollock, and then we made friends with a guy named Engel Martin. Did you remember Engel Martin?
Sure do. Engel Martin, we ended up losing him to Florida.
We didn't necessarily lose him. He wanted to come, but Shock signed at Georgia
right.
first.
So well, when Shock signed, I think coaching change hurt him a little bit too. But at the same time, he ended up transferring to Furman.
That's right. Really good player. The point of all that is you meet these guys that you enjoy hanging out with. And then, you know, we go from that, we meet DJ Shockley. We meet Fred Gibson, Gerald Anderson, you know, get to meet Kedrick Golston. Think about guys that were around the same time I was, Josh Brock, Bartley Miller, Dan Inman. Dennis Rowland, and you get to build a bond with these guys to where you know during recruitment you start seeing.
I wasted a lot of time of my life on those guys. Driving down the
wasted, coach. But you build a bond with those guys, and there's just a comfort level. Because, I mean, there's some guys that we talked about earlier, Robertson, want to go to California, experience something different. Like, most people want comfort. Most people want familiarity.
Sure.
And to be able to leave mama for the first time in your life, you want to go somewhere else where you're not waking up in the morning by yourself. You want to have somebody like, hey, you want to walk down to O House with me?
Yeah. Oh, you know, absolutely.
Summer for a freshman in Athens is lonely if you don't know places.
Sure.
Man, I got so lost trying to ride the Orbitz bus one day.
Oh, man.
I was late to a workout. Had to explain to Coach Van about, like, Coach, I thought Orbit went everywhere, but I ended up somewhere off of Timothy Road. I don't know why it happened. So, you know, having guys you're comfortable with you know makes a big difference. So, you know, the opening of that new facility is huge. And above all, we get a chance to make the Letterman's Club great again.
I like
that. Open that back up, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Letterman deserves a place to be there. Yeah. I'm going to come out in there and see and make sure all those guys are taken care of.
I think Kirby's done a great job in getting those people re-involved. I think getting the Letterman back on campus, you know, we mentioned over the last couple of seasons, it feels like to me almost every game there's a current or former NFL player from Georgia who comes out on the field. They honor them. Those things are all impactful for recruits.
Exactly.
Kids want to know that not only can you go from here, be successful in the league, but then you come back and you're a hero. I mean, you get a hero's welcome.
Well, you think these guys know who Champ Bailey is, but maybe they don't. But when they introduce the guy who's been in the Pro Bowl 12 out of 15, 13 years or something like that, they say, holy smoke. So I think those are just, you know, Richard Seymour just got in the South Carolina Hall of Fame. A lot of those guys, just unbelievable.
And I think that the opportunity for those guys to be there day one when that recruiting center opens and kind of kick things off, that's a new start for everybody in that sense. I think that can be impactful too. Now, the problem with it is, as you mentioned, with these dead periods, Clemson's having a big recruiting weekend that weekend. Auburn's having a big one. Everybody's going to be doing it. So Georgia's really got to lock down and really focus on the guys that they want to get on campus, because we did an interview with Trayvon Walker that actually got put up yesterday. You know, he said, hey, everybody wants me to come on that weekend. And that's if you're a top player, that's going to be the situation.
He's going to be here, isn't he?
I like Georgia's chances. I do like Georgia's chances.
I do too.
Of getting him in that weekend. I want to make sure that we shout out our buddy Cable East, Robert Wall, out in Statham. You can't go by and buy anything from Robert, but you might see him on the golf course. Tell him thanks for sponsoring the show. We do appreciate him doing that. Also, if you need some new gear, get over to 365 Game Day. They've got all your stuff loaded up for the fall. You're going to be needing some fresh Georgia gear here soon to get the season rolling.
By the way, I just saw I'm screened.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw they said something about Tavares Tillman.
Yeah.
Staff as an analyst here. We need to keep that cat, just because I'm going to tell you right now, he's got a couple of kids. Ooh, baby. They can go. I saw him in the flag football circuit last year. So let's keep Tavares around.
All right.
If nothing else to do
that. That guy broke my heart, went to Tech. We had him. I thought we had him, and he went to Tech and did a good job for him.
Coach, I have a very interesting question here, and I think that you'll be able to provide some insight on this, both from your personal experience and just from knowing the guy for such a long time. Chris Pugh asks, Coach, do you think there's ever been a desire in Kirby Smart to coach in the NFL one day as a head coach?
Well, the one thing that Kirby's got going for him to make that decision is he was in the NFL for 1 year with the Dolphins with Nick. Before Nick left and everything, and I think Kirby left, came up here for being a running back coach, but then he went to LSU with him. But you know, there's always going to be that lure of the NFL for anybody. You know, at least talk to you. You know what I mean? So, and again, Kirby is well connected. I mean, he knows a lot of people up there, because he goes and visits the pros a lot, you know, to pick up defenses and all that, and he knows all these different coaches, and he was signed as a free agent with Indianapolis, and Bill Polian is a very big name in the NFL. But I would say it would be very difficult. You're talking about mama here. When you got your wife went to school here, you're settled, your kids are just in the formative age of elementary school and all that. I mean, he really was a little bit ahead of schedule having a job like George at his age. I just don't see it happening. But, you know, at the same time, you know, who knows what with you've seen some of these guys go to the pros and do pretty well, and some of them have done well. But a lot of those pro coaches have college backgrounds as assistant coaches. Not a lot of guys go to the NFL as head coaches from college. But so my answer would be, I would say, probably not.
Can't ever rule anything out, of course. But, yeah, you know, I think that the idea that, you know, this is Kirby's first head coaching gig, period, anywhere. So you want to make sure that this is, you know, I guess that it's a load that you can shoulder here before you would even want to consider moving on to that next level.
What I know about Kirby and the conversations I've had with him being around him, and Kirby was the running backs coach, you know, one of my years of senior year, I think. You know, and I think if you ask Kirby right now, it may sound like coach speaking, they may say it, but Kirby will probably tell you, like, boys, I ain't accomplished nothing yet. You know, we had a great run last year. Don't get me wrong. It's one of the three or four greatest seasons of UGA history.
Sure.
Won the SEC, won the Rose Bowl, played for the national championship. But that ain't his goal. I'm going to tell you right now, Kirby Smart is trying to get the big ring on his finger at the end of the year. And if you ask him, and it's not just coach speak, I believe he believes in his heart, and he tells himself this every day, like, he ain't done nothing yet. And again, I ain't saying that, Coach.
He hasn't reached the level.
But he hasn't reached what he wants
to
do.
You know,
he hasn't set the.
He was involved with what, four of them at Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, who knows? Because people say, "Oh, there's not enough money." There's enough money. If somebody one day wants to pay like $15-20 million, like you said, like Mary Beth, we really loved our time at Athens. We're gonna take a shot.
So you got to look at all that. But I mean, all of a sudden now, in the span of less than 27 months, he's gone from making $1 million a year to almost $7 million, you know, as assistant coach of that. So, you know, I think just realistically, the thing that's hard to really fathom, though, is how hard it is to get to that game again.
Yes.
We could be a better team than we were last year, but because of our schedule, our non-conference schedule, all that. I mean, we pretty much got to run the table, you know. I mean, and we can do that, that's for sure. But I know at Oklahoma, we won a national championship, and we played – we were in a position to get in it where you didn't have – back then you didn't have the 2 years we didn't get in it after the year we won it. We had a better team. But we lost to Miami on the last play of the game 1 year, and we lost to them in the national championship the third year. So three straight years we were national championship caliber team, but the year we won it, we weren't as good as we were the two we didn't win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that now, you know, just to play devil's advocate a little bit on this, the one thing that I will say is very interesting is how much involvement you mentioned from the NFL that we've seen with Kirby Smart. You know, Bill Belichick coming down here, drafting several of his players, taking guys on that, you know, really have cut their teeth under Kirby and gotten to their highest level under him. Coming down and working that camp and having a chance to put those guys through their paces, there's definitely some mutual respect there. Those guys clearly, I think, appreciate what Kirby's doing on the collegiate level.
You know, you got to like Coach Arians just had his golf tournament for his I'm not sure what the cause was, but it was a Bruce Arians family type deal where they donate money, but. Kirby was invited to that when he was an assistant coach because he met this guy down at the lake, I'm sure. But let's make no mistake about it. You can talk all you want to about Kirby Smart being a recruiter and all. This guy is a brilliant tactician. Brilliant. He knows football. He can go out there and coach every position. His dad was a high school coach. He grew up watching film. He grew up learning how to play everywhere. And he can coach every position on the team, including special teams. And there's not a lot of guys I can say can do that. You know, I feel like I could do okay with maybe some defensive stuff. But I'm telling you now, the guy is a special talent for his overall knowledge of football.
Yeah. I think that's hard to argue that, I think, based on his track record. Brian Murphy giving us our last one here today. We'll kind of wrap up on this one. A bit of a surprise today. Georgia media guides went out. And the addition of D'Angelo Gibbs was made. He is in the media guide. He is listed as part of the team. We knew that he was participating with a lot of the off-season stuff. Went to Camp Sunshine with those guys. looked like they were kind of, you know, handling him in the way that they are the freshman, giving him a chance to kind of get things back. But big news to know that it is official, I guess, according to the media guide.
I would say this, so it'd be a whole lot easier to put him in there and everything work out than for all of a sudden we come out today and say, hey, Gibbs name in him, he ain't got a chance. Now, what are y'all going to do with him? So I think it looks good for his chances, you know what I mean? But
sure.
I think to say he, for sure he's ready to go, I mean, you know, there's been guys in the media guy before that they put in that didn't get in school.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
So I'm not putting any cold water on it. I'm just saying I feel good about what he's done. He earned it, and he should be out there. But I don't think that necessarily is a connotation to you that he's definitely back. Or
now, put him in because it's going to cause a firestorm of questions if he's not. And they're like, because there are people who want to scroll through that whole thing and
that's
like
right.
look for something to stir the pot with.
Right.
Like, just like Dave McMahon.
Yeah. Kirby ain't trying to let the pot be stirred.
Like they were worried about Cook having his picture on Instagram with number 81 up there. That was his locker.
Right, right.
I mean, he's not going to be 81. He's going to be, what's his number, 6?
I believe that is correct. I'll have to double check that. No, I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. I, as you said, I think things continue to bode well, though, for D'Angelo Gibbs. We've heard nothing but positive this summer on him. And, you know, a guy who I think if you can rely on him to provide you some depth there in the secondary, that's huge. That would
be
amazing.
Well, here's the thing that Russ could add to it, because you've seen a lot of players come off the mat and all that. But all of a sudden, when you're the kind of the man, and then you get knocked off and you don't have that opportunity, and then all of a sudden it seems like you're losing it, that opportunity to come back, like you said, he's got to earn it, but he's also got to earn it with the players too, right?
No doubt. That first bite of humble pie tastes really bitter. You know, when you've been the man your whole life and you get knocked down, it really stinks. But after that, if you really humble yourself and you work your butt off, the good news is when you're in his position, the guys who make it, now there's plenty that don't make it. They're arrogant, you know, pricks, for lack of a better term, that just can't get out of their own way to make it. But the guys who do are the ones who humble themselves, who shut their stinking mouth, and they show up every day and work. They're there early. They stay late. They're helping. They're doing all the little things to make the guys around them look at them and say, that's the guy I want to go to battle with.
Exactly. I mean, just like you put yourself in anybody's place, hometown hero, everybody sees you doing all this, you're getting recruited by everybody, then you go back home and, hey, what's up with you, man? You gonna be on the team? You know, all that. So, I mean, it's a big difference there as far as the perception. And I think Kirby's done a tremendous job of low-keying it and making him earn that right. And if he's going to be a player, he'll be a heck of a lot better for what he's had to undergo to get back on the team. And,
absolutely.
And I think the fact that he would have earned that will give him that responsibility that the rest of the players will be glad he's out there, because he's done what he's told to do.
And I will say, you know, I think that this whatever the situation was around it, obviously that's not ideal. But the idea of him having to earn that spot back, I think is very key. This is a kid that, you know, a lot of people want to talk about how crazy the recruiting world is and how nuts it can get sometimes. I mean, D'Angelo was one of those kids that started getting recruited like the end of his 7th grade year.
Right.
So, you know, he's had the spotlight on him for as long as he can remember. I'm sure it's been a very humbling experience, but also probably a very formative one for him.
Let's give some love to Nate Trespatrick, what all he's done this last year too.
Yeah.
Since that incident. I've really been impressed with the way he's handled himself too, and gets back to good discipline by Kirby and the staff. You got a new coach there, and Coach Lanning, at, you know, working with him. Because it's always tough when you got a senior and you get a new coach, you know what I mean? And certainly Shear leaving was tough, but, you know, I think this Lanning guy, very impressive.
Absolutely.
The way he is working with him.
Yeah, definitely in lockstep with him, for sure. All right, we're going to wrap up on that this week. Russ, thank you so much for coming
by. Appreciate it, man.
Tell folks how they can get in touch with you.
AthensLender.com.
AthensLender.com. Get
by. Got some good deals out there.
For all your mortgage needs.
That's right. If you don't need a mortgage and you need a new vehicle, get out to Athens Ford. Check them out. If you need some pizza, get to Your Pie. They're one of our best sponsors. Don't forget to get out to Academia for all your World Cup action. Go see Robert Wall at Cable East 365 Game Day. We thank them, as always. 11 Alive for having us on the page. Champies for having us in here today. And I think that's it. So good night, Grace. Say good night, Grace.
Say good night. good night, Gracie.
Good night.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.